The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thank you, David. Who here enjoys learning history? There's a good number of you. That's awesome. Some people find it rather boring. Some people really struggle with learning history. I remember one young boy who said to his parents, "It's much harder for me to learn history than it is for you because there's more of it since you learned it." You know, history's not just this dull recollection of facts, of dates, of places. You know, if we want to make sure we don't repeat the mistakes of the past, it's good to be able to read the past. Some people say the best way to predict the future is to know the past, because the ways of humanity don't actually change that much. For example, have you ever heard anyone say something like this? "Young people today." You know where I'm going. All right, let's look at this quote. "The world is passing through troublous times. The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. They talk as if they knew everything. And what passes for wisdom with us is foolishness with them. As for the girls, they are forward, immodest, and unladylike in speech, behaviour and dress." When do you think that was written?
A long time ago.
Not sure? It was written by a guy called Peter the Hermit. It was included in his sermon in 1274. 750 years ago. So have things changed? Isn't it interesting how when we look back at the past and we think, oh, you know, they wouldn't have had the problems we've got today. There you go. Maybe they did. So last week I was telling the story of the Passover, the history of Israel as a nation. And we saw the Passover is a retelling of the story of the Israelites as they prepare to leave Egypt, the land of slavery. And they are told to take a lamb, to kill it, to take the blood and put it on the doorposts over their homes. They are to then roast that lamb. And then when they sat round to eat it, they were to be dressed, ready to depart. To depart from their land of slavery to freedom and towards the promised land. And we saw that in the context of the Jewish people retelling their history. Retelling their story. And whenever they share the Passover, they are retelling their story, history. But as well as that, they are remembering their God who is loving, their God who is faithful to his word, their God who provides miraculously for his children. What's interesting is the Passover doesn't just look back. The Passover is actually a powerful prophetic declaration. Because every time they shared the Passover, they were declaring about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Because when the Jews killed the Passover lamb and put the blood on the doorposts of their homes, it meant then that the Lord would pass over their homes so that they would live, whereas the eldest child of the Egyptians would die. This was a foretelling, a prophecy, that Jesus, the Son of God, would die as the Passover lamb. His shed blood would cause God to pass over our sins to give us spiritual life instead of death. It spoke about the Egyptians who went from a land of slavery to freedom, and now it speaks about us as we are set free from slavery to sin into freedom in Christ. Remember that Jesus shared the Passover with his disciples the night that he was arrested. And during that meal, he took flatbread, known as matzah, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body." When we look at the matzah, look at the pattern of it. You see that it is striped and it is pierced with holes. So when Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body," he is making a declaration that it would be his body that would be striped by the whip and would be pierced with the spear in his side. During the Passover meal, when they came to what we understand is the third cup of the Passover, it's called the cup of redemption. Jesus then said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." In other words, Jesus is now declaring that his blood would be that which is poured out for the redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And last week I took that passage from Exodus chapter 12 where we saw that God, when he commanded the Israelites to share the Passover, that they were to share it every year in remembrance of what God had done to set them free. And Jesus likewise said, "Continue to do this in remembrance of me." In other words, continue to share in what we now share as communion, as we celebrate that together here on the first Sunday of each month. So in other words, what we're seeing is that the Passover was not just a retelling of history. It was a prophetic declaration of the future that would impact all of humanity. See, God can use this past to speak into the future. So last week, I spent time sharing the story of Rangeville Community Church and the story of our past and the importance of prophecy in that journey. And so we saw that there were prophecies that went back many years that spoke about a ministry centre, a ministry facility for up to 1,500 people that would be built and used mightily by the Lord. I spoke about the prophetic word from Herman, when he said that we were to undertake a building program and that the church would move into the facility debt-free. And I shared the story of God's miraculous provision that when we went to purchase this land and we were $2.6 million short, a donation of $2.6 million was provided so that we could buy the land debt-free. I shared the story of having gone through that journey. We got to a point where we had a sod turning ceremony. And do you remember that picture where everyone brought their shovel? And we shared together, and everyone together took a shovel and dug in expectation of what God was going to do. And God miraculously provided the final funds that were needed, $1.7 million. That enabled us to then say, we have all of the finances that are now required. It's time to start construction. And so we were able to start construction debt-free and finish this facility debt-free. See, that's our history. It's like the Passover. We celebrate God who is all-loving. We celebrate God who is faithful to his word. We celebrate God as a God of miraculous provision. But it's not the end of the story, because we don't believe God's prophetic word has been fulfilled yet. See, the early prophetic words were that we were to build a facility for up to 1,500 people. And this is an artist's impression of what it would look like. And so that was designed and planned. It was the auditorium we're in now, plus a main auditorium which would seat up to or just over 1,100 people. And so that the two auditoriums plus the multi-purpose rooms would allow a total number of people in here of about 1,500. But that's all that's been built so far. We've built the first part, stage one. And that's how much the funds were there for, to enable us to build stage one. And what a blessing it is to be here. And what a blessing it is that we've been able to build what we've built because of God's provision. We're thankful for the ministry that we're able to minister here, that there's been a significant impact in this city and far beyond because of the ministries that God is wanting to do and has been doing here. We're seeing the kingdom of God released in beautiful and wonderful ways. But we believe that that is not all that God intended. It's interesting, as we look back at our conversations with Toowoomba Regional Council, and we looked at the approval to build, our development approval, and subsequently our building approval, was actually for the whole building. And so that's why when you walk in, you notice that there's a big area out on that side that was prepared. The earthworks has already been done, ready to build the next stage. And we actually paid the council fees for construction of the whole building. When we had constructed it, and as we prepared to move in, we had to have the council sign off on it. And when the council signed off on it, they did not sign off saying the building was complete. In fact, the technical term was paused construction. Isn't that interesting? In other words, the construction had stopped at a certain point. It was not complete in their eyes. Next week's a really significant day for us. Not only is it our annual general meeting, it will be 12 years since the day we celebrated our first service here, the 27th of March 2011. And in that interim time, we have regularly been praying for God to continue to release the resources, the people, and the finances for what God wants to do to see the next stage be built. And over the last 2 years, there's been this growing conviction amongst the elders and many others that the Lord is telling us to get ready to recommence construction, to finish what God called us to do. And I believe that when you have a sense that God is speaking about something, he will often confirm it in more than one way. He'll often bring it to you in some way, but then someone else will speak into it. And someone else or another way of confirmation will happen. At our annual general meeting last year, I showed a painting painted by a wonderful lady in our church called Pamela Philippa. Pamela was here at the 8 o'clock service this morning. And for those of you who study art, those of you who love art, you would know that it's not just the final painting that matters. It's the journey the artist went on to create that painting, because there's a story that sits behind every painting. And so this morning I want to share with you the story of Pamela and Pamela's painting. And it started on the 20th of June, 2021. It was a morning service here in the auditorium, just like today. And suddenly she saw the glory of God just fill this place. And she said it was just absolutely beautiful. And then she felt the Lord said, I want you to buy a canvas and paint it. And so Pamela bought a canvas and started painting. This is what she painted. She says it's really hard to try and capture the glory of the Lord in a painting. But this is what she did. And she continued to paint it. She felt the Lord then say, that's enough. Stop. Put it away. And so she did. About 2 months later, on September 5th, again in a morning service, Pamela felt the Lord say, get out the painting, and I now want you to paint the next stage of the building on that same canvas. And so Pamela had come into the office and asked, could I just have a copy of what the artist's impression of the next stage would look like? And then she went away and she drew that into the painting. And as she did that, she felt the Lord said, that's enough. Put it away. And then 2 weeks later, on September the 19th, Pamela felt the Lord said, paint the word obedience on the bottom of the painting. That will complete it. So a few days later, it was the 23rd of September, Pamela came to meet with me and she brought this painting. This is it here. And she gave it to me. And she told me the story that I've just told you. Now, Pamela, in her very humble way, then said, does that make sense? And I was really excited. I said, that makes lots of sense. She said, why? And I said, well, today's Thursday, and we've got an elders meeting next Tuesday, and we always finish all of our information, our agenda, all our discussion papers, all our information on the Thursday, and we send it out. So I've just sent out the elders' documentation for the meeting next week, and in the agenda is a discussion paper to recommence discussions on building the next stage. Now, do you think that's God confirming? We really felt that God was saying, you need to take that next step of obedience. And so Pamela's painting was a way of God confirming that what the elders were including in their meeting the next week was what God was wanting. And so there was this unanimous approval by the elders to restart that conversation about building the next stage. So when we're looking at the design of the building, we were looking at then what are our current needs, what are our future needs. And we brought together a group of people, wonderful people who've got creative skills, who've got literary skills, who've got artistic skills and prophetic gifting. And we brought all of those different group gifts together and people together. We called it the Creative Communication Team. And we were seeking God about what he wanted to say about this and how he wanted to say it. And so what you're seeing now is that God has been confirming to us about the next stage through prophecy, through strategy. And then he started to get our attention another way. And that was, have you noticed there's more people here? Like, it was only a number of years ago that we used to have just one morning service at 9 o'clock. And as we outgrew the 9 o'clock service, we decided we'd have one at 8 and one at 10. And there was, you know, the 8 o'clock was really well attended, and the 10 was, well, it wasn't that many around. But look around the room now. There's lots of you. It's wonderful. See, there's been this wonderful growth that's been happening on Sunday mornings. But it's not just Sunday mornings. Those of you who were here last Tuesday morning, you would have seen it. Word Cafe has grown significantly in size as they gather as a group of ladies on a Tuesday morning. Men's ministry started a couple of years ago as men gathering together for morning tea and to hear a speaker speak. And we had about 40 there on Tuesday morning. And then we've got Mums Connect, a group of young mums and lots of children that also gather at the same time. And so between all of that and ministry happening in Freedom Life, there's pretty well the foyer's full, the multi-purpose rooms are all full, other rooms in this place are all full. So that's happening on Tuesdays. But the real challenge is Friday nights. Because in the last couple of years, our youth group has over doubled in size. In the last few years, Space Pilots has over doubled in size. And then we've started another ministry called Grace Girls, which is for grade 4 to 6 girls. And it started, you know, just as a new ministry September in 2021. And already there's well over 20 girls that are attending there every week. And so we're seeing that the foyer and every multi-purpose room is full. And then there's the parents as well as that who are coming and going, and some are staying throughout that time. In addition to that, there'll be new groups that are starting on Friday nights for some of those parents who are staying, as we have an opportunity to gather together with them. But our problem is we've run out of rooms. We've run out of space. What a problem to have. It's a great problem. Now let's go back to the history of the Israelites. They crossed the Jordan River. They defeated Jericho and other cities in that area, and they moved in, they settled in. But that wasn't the end of their story. They continued to possess the promised land at the rate they could fill it. So what we see was the Lord said to them in Exodus 23, "But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land." And so what we've been seeing is that little by little, our ministries have continued to grow until we've increased enough that we need to take hold of the promises that God has given us through prophecy and already what has been approved through council. And it's time for us to take the next step. So in other words, what we're seeing is what we believe God is showing us prophetically, he's showing it strategically, and he's confirming it through growth, all of which means that it's time for us to step into the next stage of the building. It's time that what the council's referred to as paused construction stopped being paused. Would you agree? It's time to hit play. So we believe that this is God's intention and we want to step into that. So let's look at the story again. When we commenced the journey of building, we talked about a vision worthy of sacrifice. And then in 2005, we created what we call Growing Our Destiny, which was part of a vision worthy of sacrifice. And we used this image. It was three stages. The first is this small seedling that just comes through the ground. And that was the provision of the land. The second picture there is as that continues to grow as the ministries that would happen on this land as a result of facilities being there. And the third part was those ministries continuing to grow and flourish. More recently, as I talked about earlier, that creative communication team has looked at our past, we've looked at our present, we've looked at our future, we've prayed and searched the scriptures, and we believe that God is calling us with this language of growing into our calling. So what's that mean? We were constantly drawn to scriptures and visions about gardens, about plants, about growth. And do you remember last year when we did that series on Kingdom of God, we started with the Garden of Eden? And we started by talking about one of the signs of the Kingdom of God is flourishing life. It is growth. And so we see this aspect of growing is not just numerically, it's about the Kingdom of God. It's about the Kingdom of God flourishing. It's about lives flourishing because they're seeing the beauty of Jesus as King. And then we explored this word call. And we were looking at scriptures for the significance of the word call or calling. And we see, first of all, that the word call is used in the context of giving someone a name, giving someone an identity. We see this in Matthew chapter 1, where it's talking about Mary. And it says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so we're seeing here that this name or this word call is to give someone a name, is to give someone identity, is to say you're part of my family. But it's more than that. When you do a search on that word call, you see it has a number of different contexts in which it's used. Another of those is to mean invite. We see this here in Luke 14. But whenever you give a banquet, invite or call people who are poor, who have disabilities, who are limping, and people who are blind, and you'll be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And so here we're seeing that God is saying, call and invite those who are poor, who are needing care, compassion, healing, and bring them. Sounds a little bit like our ministry of winter shelter, doesn't it? Caring for the homeless. That they would be invited, they'd be called, that we can bless them and provide for their needs. So what about calling? Well, the word calling means to fulfill God's plans for your life, to step into what God intended for you. So growing into our calling speaks about growing into the church that God has called us to be. God's prophetically given words and pictures now over decades of what he intends Rangeville to be. And that so much of that has already been fulfilled and so much more is yet to be fulfilled. We want to be growing into what God intended. We want to be a church where people come and they know their name. Where they discover their identity in Christ, where their life flourishes. We want to be a church where people are invited and discover it's a safe place, a place where they can come and experience life that is healing, that is wholesome, where they can sit at the banquet of the Father. In other words, they can sit at the Father's table with brothers and sisters in Christ and share together in the goodness of God. You see, this building is not just about a facility. It's a resource. See, over the last several weeks, I have talked about our mission, our vision, our values. Why? Because that's who we are. And that's where we've got to start. We've got to start with who are we as the children of God? What's God calling us, or who's he calling us to be? And out of who we are, what is it we're meant to do? And then out of that flows the need for the resources to underpin it. And so our focus should always be on God. Our focus should always be on the people. But there are resources that are needed for us to continue to do that in the way God intends. So how do we represent this? What's it mean to be growing into our calling? Well, as I've talked about over these last weeks, the kingdom is a really big theme for us as a church. Our vision statement is releasing the kingdom of God, doing that through connecting people to Christ and one another, through a life of healing and discipleship, through serving, all of which is centered around a life of worship, centered around the cross. As we've talked about values, one of our values is being kingdom-minded, that we would think with a kingdom perspective, a kingdom of God perspective, in what, who we are and in what we do. And so we were drawn to these images of kingdom. And there's a beautiful story or words that Jesus has in Luke chapter 13 when he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It's like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree. And the birds make nests in its branches." And so the creative communication team created this as a picture that demonstrates growing into our calling. What you see there are the hands of God, because we are nestled in the hands of God. Nothing we can do should be outside the hands of God. It represents growth. It represents this tiny mustard seed that is growing. It's flourishing, a sign of the kingdom. And then, as it says in that passage, the birds come and make their nests. In other words, what we're seeing there is that it's a safe place. It's a place for the birds to come and be safe in that tree. But not only that, they make their nest. What's a nest speak of? The next generation, doesn't it? It speaks of a place where there will be new ones that are born, that will grow, that will learn to fly and flourish. And so we want to see that as a church, we are all of those things. We are held in the hands of God. We are growing for his glory. There is flourishing life. It is a safe place, and it's a place where the next generation will grow into the goodness that God has for them. Now, that's the first part of the story of the mustard seed. But Jesus told another story about a mustard seed. He said, "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." The story of building the next stage will take faith, won't it? That's our story. It's a story of stepping out in faith. That each time we've felt the Lord said, "I want you to take the next step of faith." And as we've done that, we've seen his provision. We need faith the size of a mustard seed so we can take this next step to see what God intends. So I'm guessing by now some of you are saying, "Well, what's it going to look like?" Next Sunday, as you know, we've got a church family picnic. So that'll be after the 10 o'clock service. Make your way out into the foyer and we'll have that available for everyone to be able to share together. And then about 1 o'clock, we'll have an information session where we'll actually talk about what the building will look like. We can show the plans and the information around that, answer your questions. And then at 2 o'clock will be the AGM. And so please come along next week and find out some more. But some of you are sitting there going, "Oh, I thought he was going to tell us now." So let me give you the teaser. And I'm not going to put up plans. I'll show them next week. But I want to tell you that there are four spaces. We've reduced the size of the auditorium from more than 1,100 down to a smaller auditorium, and we're going to call it a sanctuary. Why a sanctuary? Well, in literature, if you like, the religious language around sanctuary is it's a place to worship God. And we see that that's a really important place and part, is that it to be a place where we gather together, where we worship God. But in the secular sense, when people talk about a sanctuary, they often refer to things like a wildlife sanctuary. What's that? It's a safe place. It's a place where maybe an animal that's been injured or wounded can come to a sanctuary that it would be have the chance to be restored, to be healed, to be cared for. And so we see this sanctuary as both a place of worshipping God as well as a place that is a safe place for people to come to experience love and care and compassion and healing and restoration. Secondly, we think it's really important to have a beautiful place, a smaller place, a chapel. And so we've been designing a chapel. It's got a whole glass wall that looks out over part of the prayer garden. And so it's intended to be able to look out over God's flourishing life. And it's intended to be that place for weddings, for funerals, for smaller or medium-sized gatherings where people can gather in that place. We're looking at a need for multi-purpose rooms. That's our greatest pressure point at the moment. We just do not have enough multi-purpose rooms. As I said earlier, on Tuesday mornings, they're full. On Friday nights, they're full and we need more. And so we see that this is a really important part of being able to have spaces where we can have those small to medium-sized gatherings across the building. And many of you have live-streamed our services. Many of you have used our video on demand to be able to download services and watch them subsequently. We look here on a Sunday morning, we've been showing video testimonies that have been recorded from people in our church or our mission spots, all of which requires some resources. And so we actually want to create a digital space. A digital space is a space where we can actually be able to do have us a sound recording studio, have a film studio, have a production studio. As a church, for many years, we've had lay preachers going out into many churches across this region to bring the word of God to those fellowships and those churches. We see that what we can do in the online is an extension of that. It's in addition to that. And we're aware of people all across Australia and further afield who live stream our services and are able to gather with us when we meet. And so we see digital spaces as a really important part of what God intends for us to be able to do using the technology that is available. So you'll get more information next week. Can you wait that long? All right. So today's a really significant day. We believe that God has led us to this point. And last week I shared our story in terms of God's miraculous provision. Today is, if you like, taking that story and we're turning the page to step into the next part of the story. We believe it's a continuation of God's vision. We believe it's a continuation of releasing the kingdom of God. We believe that we're called to contribute into this city, to release the kingdom of God in this city and far beyond, across this nation and further afield, to see God's name glorified, to see our community become more of what God intended it to be, so that lives would be changed in beautiful ways. And the building is simply a resource that facilitates ministry. So last week I wrapped up by asking you to turn to those around you and ask, were you here when stage one happened? And what was that like? What did you experience? And I've heard some great stories during the week as people have told me their memories, their thoughts. Today, can I encourage you to remember that you were here today as we start this next stage of our story? Can I encourage you to take the faith of a mustard seed? To take the faith of a mustard seed and believe that, as with the word testimony, testimony means that we remember what God's done and we're asking God to do it again. Last week, we shared the testimony of what God has done that allowed us to build what we have debt-free. Testimony is also saying, God, would you do it again? And so we're stepping out with that faith of a mustard seed to believe that God wants to do it again, to fulfill the vision that he'd originally put before us. And so I encourage you to be part of planting a mustard seed, that this church will grow in his hands. It will flourish. That it will be a place, a safe place, where people can come. It will be a safe place where the next generation will grow and flourish for the purposes of the kingdom of God and for God's name to be glorified. And so as we do at the end of every service, I want you to take a minute now just to reflect on that. And maybe even just say, God, what are you saying to me about that? Heavenly Father, we are constantly in awe of you, amazed at your incredible love, your faithfulness, and your miraculous provision. We see it in the story of the Passover, as you took the Israelites from slavery into freedom and into the promised land. You fulfilled your word. Lord God, we've seen those parallels in our own journey so far, as we've seen, Lord, your love for us as your children. We've seen your faithfulness of the words that you've given and the prophetic words that have been given, and we've seen so many of those fulfilled. We've seen your miraculous provision as you provided the resources and the funds and the people with the right expertise and the people of prayer to undergird it all. And that has led us to where we are. Father God, we believe you've said it's time to step out, to take the next step of faith. And so, Father, we come before you this morning and we pray that you would give us that faith of a mustard seed. That, Lord, we would plant that. That, Lord, we would see it grow in your hands and flourish. And that this community would be a safe place. It would be a place where the next generation grows and is released for your glory and honour. So, Heavenly Father, we commit this to you. And we ask, Lord, for the fulfilling of what you've already given us in prophetic words. We pray, Lord, that that will be fulfilled and your name will be glorified and your word, your gospel will be preached. And, Lord, that lives would be transformed all over the place because your people are where you've placed them, living according to your ways, your plans, your purposes. And that, Lord, we'd be a blessing to wherever you've placed us. And so, Father, I just pray now your blessing upon each and every one who's gathered this morning, who's gathered here or online. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one. And I pray, Father, that in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you would bless, you would enable, you would provide for each one in all that this week holds in store. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.